All right, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 John, the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter number 2. We're going to start reading there, verse number 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk even as He walked. Now, as we look here in verse number three, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Now, these three words seem like a very simple statement, to keep the commandments of God. But what does it really know? I mean, what does it really mean? I mean, in the context of the Scripture, we find a very assured truth that we know Him if we keep His commandments. But one great question, I guess, would be for any Bible student is, what are these commandments that it's spoken of in chapter 2, verse number 3, when he's talking about keeping His commandments? Now, in the Scripture, we find precepts and we find statutes, we find word, we find commandments. All through the Scripture, these are speaking of the Word of God. We do understand that. But this commandment in the Scripture, as we look in 1 John chapter 3, you can turn there just one page with me. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments, okay, dwelleth in Him, and He in Him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Now notice in verse 24, it's a plural, commandments. And then in verse number 22, we find the plural commandments. In verse number 23, you'll find a singular commandment without the S. In verse 22, he says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, but because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is, verse 23, His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, what are those commandments? The commandments are those things that are produced in our life by being obedient to the Word of God and having a walk in the Spirit of God. But this thing has a prerequisite of salvation, because the commandment is to believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. How do we work the works of God? Now that was said over there in John chapter 6. If you remember 20 verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto life everlasting, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Does everybody remember that in John chapter 6? Now here's their question. Well, how do we work the works of God? And this is Jesus' answer to this. In verse 29, Jesus answered them and said, this is the the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. He said, you want to know the works of God? He said, it's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on Me, believing on the One whom He has sent. Now, why can you work the works of God by believing on whom He has sent? Because that indwelling Spirit of God that fills the life of the believer after salvation, after that personal belief on the Lord Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection, when the Spirit of God infills a man or a woman after that salvation or in the transaction of salvation, when that happens, what we find is that the works of God begin to manifest itself through the life of the believer. And so we find in picture of John chapter 6, in 1 John chapter number 3, He said, this is His commandment. You want to keep His commandments? I mean, if we want God to regard us and regard our prayers, then He said, we are those who keep His commandments. We are those who walk in His Word and do and obey what the Word of God says. Not just a hearer only, but a doer of the Word of God. And if this is going to happen, then we have to obey His commandment, which is to believe on the name of the Son of God. Without that belief, there is no doing. There's a lot of people in churches trying to go through the motions, are there not? I believe we can all nod our head about that one. There's a lot of people in this community. There's a lot of people that, a lot of preachers, you know, that'll preach and teach the goodness of man and the love of man and walking in the things of the Word of God. But, you know, without that salvation, there'll never be that walk like it needs to be. There'll never be that obedience like it needs to be. You can't obey the Scripture. You can't obey the Word of God and walk in the things of the Word of God without being saved. Man has to have that. Amen. And here we find that prerequisite. Verse number 23. This is His command. Believing on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. We find over there in Ephesians 2:10 sort of backs that up. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Is that not what it said? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. This is where it starts. It starts in Christ unto good works. You can't go out and expect to turn your life around without being saved. I mean, there's a lot of preachers and a lot of teachers and so-called doctrines nowadays that are preaching reformation. We're going to reform man. But my friend, it's not about reformation. The Bible and the Spirit of God is not trying to produce reformation in the heart or mind of man. It's a transformation. It's a transformation from a life of darkness to a life of light, from the power of Satan unto the power of God. And that transformation, my friend, brings them into a new walk with the Lord that is holy and separated for God. We are created a new man in Christ Jesus. I've been created unto good works. And so in the context of keeping the commandments of God, it is salvation, but in salvation the Spirit of God takes up an abode on the inside of man, that a man can live by the Spirit-filled life in Christ. Okay, this has been the aim of God since the beginning, no doubt, for a man to walk with God, trusting and obeying Him from the heart. God has always been trying to produce this in the heart of man. And so with this in mind, and we're going to get to where we want to get to today, but I wanted to cover this in the context of the Scriptures, but we're going to look at this a little bit deeper this morning. But I want to preach on this thought. I mean, if we're going to have a thought, I believe every message ought to have a thought that drives into our hearts and into the heart of man, that produces some type of change, amen, before we leave the church house. And so this is going to be our thought, protecting your prescription this morning. So let's go ahead and bow our heads in prayer, ask the Lord to help us. Let's all bow our heads. Father, we ask You to help us this morning. We sure need Your grace and Your mercy. We prayed for this morning. We've asked You to do a work in the hearts of the people here. God, You know who would be here. Lord, You know each heart that would be here. And God, I pray that You would minister to them today. Each one has different needs, different things that we've got going on in our lives. Lord, we've all taken different roads, different journeys. And Lord, I know, Father, that each one of us, though, can be ministered by the Spirit of God. And we pray that be heavy upon the hearts this morning. And Father, we'll praise You for all that You do, how You bless Your Word, touch it, fill it with power, Lord, I pray. And Lord, fill Your preacher boy with power one more time before Your soon coming. Lord, I praise You for all that You do now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, as we finish that question a while ago, we've seen that we said that God, through the Bible, has always commanded man to walk in His commandments and to keep His commandments or to keep His Word. God told Moses to do it over in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Deuteronomy 8, 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and approve thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. Deuteronomy 13, 4. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and ye shall serve Him and cleave unto Him. God told Moses to do it. He said, you're going to keep these commandments. God told Joshua to do it. Joshua 22, 5. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all His ways and to keep His commandments and to cleave unto Him and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Hey, this was God's desire and passion. He wasn't seeking the sacrifice. It was commanded. God had His reasons for the sacrifice, but it was a broken and a contrite heart that God was requiring from these people that walk in the law and the commandments. He was wanting that brokenness. He was wanting that servitude of heart. God told Solomon to do it over in 1 Kings 8:58, that He may incline our hearts unto Him to walk in all His ways, to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments which He commanded our fathers. 1 Kings 8:61, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes and to keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. When Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes and he was trying to sum up everything, he said to fear God and to keep His commandments. That's the conclusion of everything. It was commanded in the Old Testament. Let's look at that and see that today. God let Daniel know to do it. Daniel 9:4, and he prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandment. God spoke through Daniel. You believe that? I believe that today, don't you? And He let him know, you're going to keep my commandments. God let Nehemiah know to do it. Nehemiah 1:9, but if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I've chosen to set my name there. He let Nehemiah know to do it. Now, if all these good men of God were commanded to publish it before the people to keep the commandments of God, why in the world would we be any different? Why in the world would we get a free pass? Amen. We are to keep the commandments of God. Now, I don't want this to be a byphrase, as many would make that, just to keep the commandments. You knock on doors, you say, have you kept the commandments? Well, yeah, I've kept the commandments. You know, what does it mean to keep the commandments? Now, to keep the commandments is a very personal thing. A very personal thing. You know, it's not like, oh, Jesus, when He was speaking to the rich young ruler, you know, and He would ask him about, you know, well, have you done the commandments? He said, yeah, I've kept all the commandments. I've kept these commandments from my youth up. You know, I've kept these commandments. You know, it was just a byphrase, you know. Yes, I know that I'm supposed to do these. I know I'm supposed to do this, supposed to do this. And this wasn't what you know, old 1 John was speaking about at all. It wasn't the Ten Commandments. It wasn't any of the commandments that was given from Mount Sinai. This wasn't what he was speaking about as far as walking in the Word of God and doing what the Lord wants you to do. It's a very personal thing. Very personal thing. And if we look at this tonight in a little deeper fashion, turn with me back there to 1 John chapter number 2. And we're going to look through these 1 John just a little bit at this in detail when the Bible speaks about keeping the commandments of God. And verse number 3 of chapter 2, he said, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Now let's look at this in a little bit of deeper fashion this morning. The word keep, okay, comes from a word, tereo, which means to guard, to keep the eye upon, to prevent from escaping. Now in the Old Testament, when we're speaking about these dear men of God that got the commandment from God to keep the commandments and to publish it to the people to keep the commandments of God. The word keep in the Old Testament comes from the word shomar, which means to hedge about, to guard, to protect. It really didn't change. That one really didn't change much, did it, from the Old Testament, from the Hebrew to the Greek. Didn't change a whole lot. It meant to guard, to protect, to put a hedge about. And no doubt, we need to keep the commandments of God. We need to guard them and to protect them. Hey, when God begins to reveal what we need to do from morning to morning, amen. I mean, when we get in our prayer closet or we get in our Bible reading time in the morning and the Lord begins to speak to my life personally and He begins to speak to your life personally, to your heart personally about what you need, because you need some different things than I need. And no doubt I need some different things than what you need this morning. Everybody understand that? I mean, you're going to go through some different things, Court, than I'm going to go through. I mean, you're going to be going through some different things and you're going to need some different scriptures than I'm going to need this morning. I may need some different scriptures than you need this morning, but guess what? We all need these commandments, and when God begins to give us the Word of God and speak to our hearts, we are commanded in the Word of God to put a hedge of protection about those words and guard them with our life. Don't let them escape. Hey, the old devil would love to sow the seeds of the world to let those things escape from us, whether it be the old tube or whether it be radio or hearing or seeing, whatever it would be in this world. Maybe it's problems, I don't know, but he's going to try to bring things in our life that are going to take away that word that is sown in our heart, that is going to help us for that day or for that week or for that problem or whatever it is that we're going through. God has got exactly what you need and exactly what I need, and he has commanded us to put a hedge of protection about that and make sure it don't escape from us. That's the reason it's so important to read the Word of God. I mean, people say, well, I'd rather pray, or I'd rather, I want to pray too, amen. We're not discouraging praying. Praying's a great thing. Well, you need to pray. You need to pray and read. But my friend, if you don't read the Word of God, what are you going to get in your system? How are you going to get that help that you need? Because when we take a look at this word commandment with me there in verse number 3, he said, if we keep His commandments. Now, the word commandment, okay, in the Old Testament, it came from a word mitzvah. It meant a command. It just meant a proper command. But when we look at it in the New Testament, and this word in the Greek, it means entole. Entole. This word simply means an authoritative prescription. What about that? That's a pretty good definition, amen, of the word commandment right there. An authoritative prescription. Just as well as a man would, you know, he starts feeling exhausted, or he starts feeling dizzy, and he begins to go to the doctor, and the doctor says, you've got high blood pressure. That hasn't happened to you, has it? You got high blood pressure. Or maybe it's some other, symptom that you've got. You've got this, or you've got this. And he says, let me give you these pills. I'm going to prescribe. That's where that word comes from, amen. I'm going to prescribe you a medicine for the ailment that you have. And so the doctor gives us that medicine, and he says, make sure you go by, you get this pill. Make sure you take that one time a day. Make sure you take it twice daily with food, whatever it may be. He said, this is your prescription. I mean, how many of us, if we had these symptoms and the doc give us those pills, wouldn't guard them with your life? Amen? I think I would. I mean, this is your prescription. This is what's going to help you. This is going to keep you alive, or this is going to keep you from going into the hospital. This is going to keep you from that. How many of us wouldn't go right then and make sure we got our prescription filled? Hey, God has got an authoritative prescription for every one of us, every morning, every evening. Hey, He's got something from the Word of God, and it's your duty and my duty to make sure we find what God has got for me that day. Maybe it's for that week. Maybe it's for that month. I don't know what you're going through. All I know is what I go through. All I know is what the Lord has got for me, and it's up to me to find it. How many Christians, I mean born-again believers, wake up in the morning and they don't find what God's got for them that day? All of a sudden, at the end of the day, they start feeling dizzy spiritually. Amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about. They begin to get their ailments spiritually. spiritually. All of a sudden they find themselves slipping into temptations that used to bother them and they had gotten victory over. They find themselves starting to slip into those things. They find them, their eyes starting to wonder. They find the world beginning to get to their flesh. All of a sudden, you know, the spiritually, the things that used to bother them start to bother them again. What is going on? Hey, that prescription that they needed that morning, they didn't find. They didn't feel that thing that morning. They didn't feel it at lunch. They didn't feel it in the evening. Hey, whatever God has got for you, it is your duty and my duty to make sure we find what God has got for us in the Word of God. And you say, well, it was oh so-and-so's fault that I did this. Or oh so-and-so's made me do this. Or I got bitter because of this. I got discontent because of this. Hey, your discontentment and your unhappiness and your bitterness is nothing but your own fault and of your own self, because God had exactly what you needed to get through that moment. God had exactly what you needed to get through that temptation. But it was your own fault because you didn't feel the prescription God had for you. Everybody say amen, amen. I'm just telling the truth this morning. We need God, amen. We need God. We need the Word of God to show us. And every day you may need something different today than you needed yesterday. Don't try to live on yesterday's revival, amen. Don't try to live on last month's jubilee. Hey, we need God. Every day we need to feel the prescription that God has got for us from the Word of God. Looking at a definition point, then that's exactly what it's saying. I mean, understandably, God has got something to help us today if we'll take it. It'll be exactly what we need. It'll be exactly what we need and when we need it. That's why it's so imperative to read the Scripture. Read the Scripture. It's imperative not only just to read the Scripture and to say, well, I'm just going to read this. And so many times we just read. We read because somebody said it's time to read. Isn't that right, children? Or we read because it's just something that we know we need to do. And so we get down and we read something so that in our own conscience we can say, I did it today. Now, don't look at me like that this morning. I'm being honest with you. This is playing games on God. God ain't all about that. God wants us to get serious when we read our Bible. Hey, if you read four verses and you read it slow enough to let the Spirit of God work on your heart, I'd rather you do that than read 10 chapters all day long and not get anything from it. I'd rather read one verse in my daily prayer time or in the morning or in the evening or whatever. I'd rather read one verse and God give me the prescription that I need for that day from that one verse. God give me the strength that I need to withstand for that one verse than to read an entire book. It's a spiritual matter. So many people make it a knowledgeable matter. We want knowledge. We want knowledge. We want knowledge. Even in our preaching, even in our church services nowadays, they want to be fed with knowledge. Give us knowledge, knowledge. There's nothing wrong with knowledge. But when the knowledge don't unction your heart by the Spirit of God and drive you closer to the Lord and make you weep for lost souls, then there's something wrong with that knowledge, my friend. You need more of God. You need a prescription that only God can give. Amen. Understand that if a doctor told us we were going to die, and if we didn't take certain medicine, you know, we would do it. And here's the reason most of the time anybody would do it. Is because on this doctor's tag on the lapel of his jacket, it says MD. Is that right? I mean, I don't know, you know, if I went to old so-and-so's house and he says, you need to take this medicine. I don't know how much I trust old Joe Blow from, you know, next door. But if you go to a clinic and this guy's got MD on there, then what that MD on his tag says is that he is a medical doctor. And he has went the 8, 10, 12, 14 years, whatever it takes nowadays to be a medical doctor. You know what that is on his tag court? That is a authority. That's his authority to say, I've got the right to tell you exactly what you need. But yet somehow we don't feel like, well, you know, whenever the preacher's preaching, all of a sudden this don't apply to me. Whenever the teacher's teaching in the Sunday school class, oh, this don't apply to me. Whenever you're talking to a brother in Christ and he starts saying something that begins to ruffle your feathers or ruffle my feathers, well, all of a sudden we say, this don't apply to me. All of a sudden the authority from the Word of God, whenever it begins to ruffle the wrong way, well, on us, all of a sudden that authority isn't as authoritative as it used to be. All of a sudden that prescription isn't exactly what I want it to be, and so I don't think I want to take those pills. I mean, how many of us would go to a doctor and him say, this is what you need, and we say, you know what, I think I need something else. You know what, I think you're wrong, and let me tell you what I think I need, and this is what I want you to do. This is what we do a lot of times. When the Word of God, the commandments that we're supposed to keep is our authoritative prescription from God, all of a sudden we start telling God, we think we need this. We think this is what we need. I don't need to take this, Lord. This is what I need. And God wants you to swallow that pill, my friend. He wants you to swallow the pill that He gives you. He wants you to take what He's got for you. But all of a sudden that's not good enough. Hey, it's His. He made you. He fashioned you. He did that. You are His people, called by His name, and you're to represent Him. Amen. If you're His and He created you, then He's got all authority to tell you what you need. Is that right or wrong? I think it's right. Sometimes the prescription, you know, given by doctors work. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes, well, you know, when they don't, they become a hindrance instead of a help. Is that right? I remember one time I was 16, and I remember, you know, I went and got a shot. I was bad allergic, and I went and got a shot one time. And the guy had gotten to playing around with a poison oak shot that I got every year. And what it was, I was allergic to rabbits. That ain't right. I was allergic to rabbits. And Cora, I went and got this shot, and I was cleaning somewhere, you know, not only 30 minutes to an hour later, and all of a sudden I just felt dizzy headed. I passed out. I had sugar problems ever since then. I've been hypoglycemic. And you know what? All because somebody altered my medicine. All because somebody began to play around. Sometimes what a doctor gives, sometimes will work, and sometimes it's a bad hindrance. And for my case, it's been a hindrance ever since, amen. Hadn't been a good thing. But understand that when God gives you a prescription, it's never a hindrance. It's always going to be exactly what you need every time you need it. I know every time I go to God, it's not going to be something that's going to hinder me. And understand, we find the Scriptures that begin to speak. If you'll turn over a few pages of 1 John chapter number 5, listen to what he said. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. This word grievous means burdensome. It means a load, to be weighty. Hey, I thank God that His commandments, what He's got for me, will never be burdensome. It'll never be grievous to me. It'll always be right. It'll always be just. It'll always be holy. And it's always for my good. Sometimes the pills are hard to swallow, but they're always for my good. Amen. Sometimes they're hard to get down. Sometimes it burns. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes the treatments hurt. God's treatment from His Word is always for my good. So why wouldn't I want to find it? I know sometimes it's not what we want and our flesh don't want to find it. But my friend, we need to get up in the morning and we need to find what God has got for us today. We need to go to bed. We need to be finding what God's got for me. Hey, when I'm going through the day, I need to be listening to a sermon. I need to be, you know, reading some material. Whatever it is, I need to find, Lord, speak to me today and show me what I need. Sometimes He gives you something that you may need for later. Sometimes He gives you something that you don't even know was wrong in your life until He gives it to you. And all of a sudden you started realizing, I have been doing this. I have been keeping from this. I have been this way. Sometimes these prescriptions are tough to swallow. Sometimes we don't know that we even need them when we get them. But we need Him. We need Him. God knows exactly what you need for that day if you'll listen. I see not only that, but by guarding what God has got for you, you perfect your love for God. Watch this. Turn back. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 5. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. You see that? Whoso keepeth his word in him, verily, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. By guarding what God has got for me, by putting a hedge of protection by what God has got for me that morning, what He's given to me in the Word of God, and I claim that verse and I keep that verse in my mind, I keep it in my heart, or maybe it's some nuggets from the Word of God. Maybe it's something that the Lord showed you from a different books and how you put them together and it made a big application in your life, and you're supposed to guard and hedge that about. Hey, that perfects the love of God. Hey, it perfects your love for God. You begin to fall in love with the Lord by taking His prescription and what He's got for you. It draws you closer to God. By guarding what God has got for you, it perfects your love for others. Y'all remember over there in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, when they said, "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." They said, "Which one?" He said, "You love the Lord thy God. You love the Lord thy God. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as thyself." Hey, you can't help whenever you begin to take and guard the Word of God in your life. And the Word of God becomes personal. And it begins to really affect you. You'll fall in love with God. And you can't help but fall in love with others. Amen. You can't help it. That's the reason he's talking about over there in verse 28 in chapter 2. He said, "Now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him that is coming. If we know that he is righteous, we know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be. But we know that we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies his own self, even as he is pure." And then he said over there in chapter 5, verse 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him." We that are saved and filled with the Spirit of God, we can't help but to love others around us. Amen. Hey, something about being filled with the Spirit of God and walking in the Spirit of God, you're going to love others around you. You're going to have a love for other people. You're going to see souls dying and going to hell, and you'll have a desire for those souls to go to heaven. You say, "Well, that I don't really have that great desire." Well, you need to be finding God's prescription. Amen. And you need to protect God's Word in your heart. Because there's no way you can't fall in love, not fall in love with God through His Word. There ain't no way you're going to be loving others. There's no way that you're going to be thinking about people's souls. Understandably, the Word. When we keep the Word, okay, when we keep this Word, whatever we need, whatever the problem, God's got your prescription. We need to get it. We need to guard it. We need to continue in it. I think about that English word, okay, that atole, where we get our word keep from. Okay, in the English it has two meanings. First of all, it means to retain. What we've been looking at it already, it means to keep, to guard, to protect. Secondly, when we think about this word keep, like that old phrase, keep it up, you know. It means to abide in. To abide in. Not only do we need to guard this Word, but we need to abide in this Word. We need to continue in this Word. He said, "When I give you this Word, continue in it. Abide in it. Don't let it just come in and out. Don't let it just come and say, 'Well, that's pretty good,' and then let it roll off. Abide in it. Continue in it. Stay in it. Memorize it. If God give you a special verse, memorize it. If God give you some special things in the Word of God, keep them to mind. Keep them in your heart. You're going to need it. It's your commandment. It's my commandment. It's mine. I got to take hold of what's mine. You need to take hold of what's yours. If God give it to you, you better keep it. You better keep it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Of course, you come. She'll come, play a verse of invitation. Anybody wants to come and pray? The altars are open this morning. You're welcome to come. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll ask the Lord to bless the invitation time this morning. Father, we ask You now to help us. We sure need Your grace and mercy. We ask You, Lord, to do a great work in our heart and our life. We pray, O Lord, that You would help us to draw close to Your Word, Lord, and help us to hide it in our hearts, Lord, that we might not sin against Thee. Lord, I pray, Father, that You would draw us close and Lord, and we draw You close, Lord, in that Word, and begin to fellowship with You in a deeper way. Father, we pray that You bless this invitation time. Maybe there's some here, Father, that sure needs Your grace and Your mercy. Maybe, Father, there's some here this morning, Lord, hadn't been walking like they need to. I pray this would be the morning that Your Word would affect their hearts. And Lord, we'll praise You for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Court, you play. These altars are open. You're welcome to come and pray this morning.